TNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The franchise has talked a lot about it. Even people in the media have been glowing about Shoddy's culture. What does it actually mean to y'all, to us, to the fan base? So I'm going to give you a few examples. This is Tyler Smith and talking about Shoddy. He's got an understanding of the most important room in the building, and it's the locker room. Complete through all the ups and downs and adversity we've been through, I really enjoyed this part of the journey. Establish that culture in some of the things we want to build upon as our team and our family unit. Let's go to CeeDee Lamb. Our ability to be professional, he holds us to a high standard, and obviously discipline is necessary. And he's referencing himself when he goes, when we acted out of pocket for him, it was more of just proclaiming his dominance, establishing a culture here and what he expects out of each and every one of us. And I feel like he is very clear with that this season. And if you want another one, Dak. I credit him for being the same, being consistent, and it's something that he talks about. But to actually watch him be consistent and be the same man through the adversity and now through some success, right? He's a hell of a leader. He's the right guy for the job. We're following him. I can give you more. We'll stop right there. Tyler Smith, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott. And again, I think it's really interesting how many people in the media have been supportive of this and picked up on it. So that's a great thing. All of those are seemingly great things. What did you feel like, if at all, it made a difference this year? Will it make a difference in the future? And do you think that matters to the fan base, or they're like, I don't really care about your culture, win the game?
Because
I'm really not sure.
Because somebody said culture is an issue when you don't win and no one cares. Look at the Chiefs' off-field issues. I don't think the off-field issues are part of the culture.
So you're okay. Ooh, interesting.
I think the culture of a business, the culture of employment, the culture of a locker room is how the guys in the locker room work together, hold each other accountable, don't let anything slide. And you can kind of go look at a winning culture. The Patriots, they had a winning culture despite having problems off field.
True.
The Cowboys in the 90s had a winning culture despite having chaos off the field.
So culture
and a lot
focused.
And a lot of that chaos off the field was because the culture bled out onto the street with them.
Right.
Or into the White House with them, if you will. I think the culture is you walk into the building and you know what's expected of you. Instead of, man, I'm really not sure why I'm here. You walk into the Ray Lewis, Ed Reed room, you knew what you were there to work on and work for. Everybody talks about that. That was a winning culture that they put in place. And Kevin, guess what? Something happened off field with Ray Lewis.
Yes.
Not a lot of people know about this story.
I think they do.
But I know one time he did say that if the NFL wasn't around, crime would rise.
Right.
So I don't think that culture is winning. I don't think culture is losing. You can have a losing culture. That's a bunch of dudes that are walking in there going, I'm collecting a paycheck because I'm here. Culture is something of the expectation. When you walk in today, is that you're looking for excellence, and that's it. And I think that's what culture means to me. It can mean a lot of different things to other people. But if you're saying that's okay, it's not that big of a deal, whenever those things that do matter are a real big deal, then that's a losing culture. The other side of it is saying, I'm not going to work any less because I think somebody on the other side's working harder than me. That's a winning culture.
You know, that's really... Man, that is really interesting to me. I like that you said that because, I mean, it was one of the things. I asked for y'all's perspective. And so that discussion of culture kind of like being in the locker room, on the field, in practice, as opposed to all that other stuff is fascinating.
I think, Kevin, if you look around a locker room that's losing,
yeah.
You can see why.
Yeah, I get you.
Like you'll see what the guys that are giving the extra, you can see the difference in the ones that aren't. Kevin, there was a group of guys on this team while the Cowboys were losing a few years ago. We were told that you could watch those guys leave early. They were the last ones in and the first ones to leave. I do like Dak's approach. I think Dak has the right mindset. He says all the right things regarding what he wants out of this. I don't think everybody that's been in that room wants all those same things a lot of the times. And finding a way as the head coach... Kurt Cignetti is a great example of getting everybody to buy in that we can do this it's just going to take you and you and you doing all these things. That's where the difference in culture, I think, is knowing that Kevin doesn't need a pep talk. He needs a kick in the ass.
Yeah.
Knowing that Alec doesn't need, I'm still trying to figure Alec out. But knowing what everybody in the room kind of needs, that's the head coach's job. Do I need to talk to that guy? Do I need to put my arm around him? That's part of his culture. And he's establishing, I care about you. You guys care about each other. Take care of each other. And don't let anybody kick you in the mouth. And don't let anybody kick your teammate in the mouth either. Those things matter.
Okay. Alec?
It's not there yet, though, for this Cowboys team.
Okay, and we're going to get more to that in just one second. Alec, I want to go to you. What do you think the importance is for culture, and do you feel like the Cowboys are moving in the right direction? And I feel like that's all I can say. I can't say they've done it. They didn't make the playoffs, and so that's going to be ultimately the question is, if you have the most happy locker room in the world and you don't make the playoffs, eventually people will be like, don't care.
It's a weird place to be, because when you're a team that's still trying to grow and develop, you're not winning right now. It's easy to use it as a crutch. You know, we're trying to build culture. We're trying to find our identity. Those buzzwords, you know, it's like, what's your goal when you know you're not going to have a winning record this year?
But you get the sense that shoddy, like, really, really means that.
Yes, and I think that's where you have to really pay attention to the people who are actually talking about those things, that are trying to instill those things. Is sometimes you can tell it is just kind of fraudulent. It is kind of just throwing words out there because you don't know what else to say. Like, let's just say Arthur Smith, when he was the head coach of the Falcons and things weren't going well, I would listen to his comments post game and say, that's fake anger. That's him trying to drum up an audience to believe that something he's saying is true. Brian Schottenheimer, you can tell, by the way, he benched CD and George Pickens in the Raiders game. You know, I know it's just one possession, but no nonsense. The way that Trayvon Diggs is not on the team anymore. You know, the way that some of these guys talk about the messages that he instills, I believe it 100%. But at the same time, when things aren't going well, I feel like in sports in general, but especially football, it gets used as a crutch too much. So as a fan, it's nice to hear at the beginning of the year. It was nice to hear in his introductory press conference after he got the job. It was really great to hear, because I thought Mike McCarthy's culture was okay. Like, I thought in a relationship standpoint, it was great. In a winning standpoint, in a seriousness perspective, it didn't exist. But I get the total opposite vibe, where I think they mean everything they say. Just to Corey's credit, especially talking about the defense and whatnot, I just don't think the players are good enough to actually win those games. So they have the right mindset, but it's like, you guys can have the right mindset to show up and have the best show in the history of radio, but just because you have the right mindset doesn't mean that you planned out the content.
Or you have the talent.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you have to supplement, and everything has to line up. It has to be perfect. That's why it worked with the Chiefs for so many years, because they had the talent, but they had Andy Reid. They had Patrick Mahomes. They had the guys leading the charge that demanded the excellence every single day, because they knew they were that good.
Also, take into consideration Nick Saban's run at Alabama. Now, did he have the best talent? Yes.
Yes.
Why did he have the best talent? He built something that people wanted to play for.
Yeah.
Maybe he had the money, too, that he was paying, or that they didn't, you know. Well, but the other part of it is, how many coaches that have left his organization, how many players talk about rat poison?
Yes, a lot.
These are the little things that I mean with culture, where everybody thinks a certain way, whether it's because they were manipulated or brainwashed or whatever. They all think a certain way, and they're all invested in it. And finding the people to put their hand in there and mix it up with them, that's what you got to find.
And that's where I think kind of some of the chicken and egg conversation comes in, because if Alabama would have consistently been pretty good, 10-3, like, would that have caught on with everybody? Or is it the fact that they won those championships that everyone's like, well, that must be it? Or was it having that attitude that allowed you to win the championships? And I think shoddy,
I think Saban's history, because he did win at LSU, too.
Sure. I mean, he's won it, like, big-time programs.
Yeah, he kind of proved that he could build that thing,
yeah,
right? build that silo.
But I think it's very clear that Shoddy believes this is what comes first.
Yep.
That your culture doesn't develop because you won. You develop the culture, and then you win.
So, so does Ted Lasso.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, kind of. Well, more experience with the game. But, you know, in terms of the attitude. And so I see people texting in from the 214. We want wins from the 972. Screw the culture, play better football. So you see there are plenty of people in the fan base who don't care.
Yes, no, the play better football's the next step in the foundation.
No, I agree, but like I think that's one of the reasons that some fans do believe is because, well, that you don't really have a choice. Your coach right now, the person who is guiding this team more or less, he believes that you have to establish the culture, and that is the only way you can win.
I don't think next year he's going to be talking about culture.
Because you think they're going to be better?
No, I think that he's going to say we did. I came in year one and told the guys what was expected of them. The culture should now percolate through the guys. The leaders that I have in the locker room, they should be the ones taking care of the culture. I don't have to do that anymore. I have to be the one with the hammer. Continuing to drive home, these are the things that are expected. I have to do that. But also those guys have to be accountable to each other, and the leaders have to hold them accountable. Kevin, we talked to many coaches. They're like, look, I can go yell at my players all I want, but if the players in the room aren't patrolling themselves, I have no power.
Yeah.
I need them to spread the message for me. And so that's part of it, too. You need the Dacks, the Lambs, the whoever your defensive leader is, to, maybe Quinnen Williams, to be the guys that are in the locker room saying, as Charles Haley, you're not good enough. Come work with me. I'll put the work in with you.
Is there somebody else? Do you need the Jerry to come in there and be like, it's his say?
Because Jerry has put such a big imprint on him, on the organization as himself being the face of it.
Yeah.
Yes. In most instances, I don't think you have to. Do I think that in the Chiefs organization that their owner is like, I have to go in the locker room and say things?
Yeah. Andy Reid's the guy.
Yeah.
You better not piss him off.
You know who it is. And that's why I've asked Jerry multiple times, when are you going to go get in somebody's ass about this? And he's like, if I felt like I had to, I would. Well, dude, you kind of have to because you're the guy. You've made yourself the GM. You put yourself in that position. You are the one that everybody answers to. So if you're going to do that, you have to be the one that goes and does it. It seems as if he's giving a lot of the reins to Shoddy.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, is he's given a lot of that rein to Brian Schottenheimer because he understands how important leadership is in that room.
Man, it is fascinating how different people's definitions of culture is. And I love the feedback from the 210. Leading the league in penalties isn't a good culture. From the 443, culture won that second Eagles game because the Mike McCarthy team lets go of the rope down 21-0. And so it's fascinating, like specific instances, specific series, specific players, specific games is what people have chosen to focus in on, but I think you're right.
And that's part of the consistency, I think, that Shoddy's talking about. Not just in play, in game. Across the season, are we showing up for work the same way?
Yeah.
Kevin, we worked at a place together that was bad culture.
Yes.
We tried to make it a good culture, and man, I thought it was.
Yeah.
What we had going was a really good culture, but you saw how many people hated showing up to work.
Yes. True.
You want to show up to work and know that you're doing something special that day. And that's what Shoddy wants this team to do.
And I do kind of wonder if, like, let's say next year and 2 years or whatever, the team goes 12-5. They grind out a divisional game win, like 17-14 or something like that. Make it to the NFC Championship game for the first time ever. How many people are immediately going to say it was the culture? You know, like you saw this start in 2025 and built up to it. But the flip side is true. You go 5-12, have the greatest culture in the world. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, see, who cares?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a winning culture. It was a losing culture.
Yeah, you're onto something there. We're the KNC masterpiece. Woo, we might need to revisit this.
Kevin, this
at
is
some
very
point.
Similar to the chart, all right? You got winning cultures,
culture chart?
Mediocre cultures, and losing cultures. That's where we are at the moment.
Okay.
We'll see how this chart goes.
I expect to see the chart. If you can mix in the culture club at some point, that'd be great too.